We have a couple people that we would like to introduce to some of you. But before that, I just want to say that my name is Pastor Adam, and this is Pastor Jenna, and we are the campus pastors for Wycliffe. Yeah. I'm telling you what, I have to give my wife, I've been married a year, but I'm starting to learn to listen to your wife, right? So a couple years ago, Pastor Caton asked us to move out to the west side, and I was like, okay, you know, let's do it. And Jenna's like, I don't think we're supposed to go. And I said, but Jen, Pastor says we should go, and I'm cool, I like the west side of Cleveland, you know, and she's like, I think we should pray about it. I was like, okay, we'll pray about it. Prayed about it. Told Pastor Caton, and he's like, well, if that's what you feel. We're like, yeah, that's what we feel. And then a couple years later, now we have a campus in Wycliffe, in our hometown, so everything's good. But we would like to introduce a wonderful family that came to our church who stepped up and just has done so much. And we would like to just to honor Mike Bozick and his wife, Denise. Come on.
Welcome, everybody. Man, it's nice to see this. This is what it's all about. I had the privilege to kind of bump into a fellow named Tony, Anthony Trevisano. This is how I ended up here. I'm more than a carpenter. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I had an opportunity and a privilege. I'd been entered into a period of prayer and fast, and I was asking the Lord, man, it just seems like all the things I've been doing, it just, you know, I was trying to do them unto the Lord. I'm trying to find purpose, and yet I felt there was something missing. And so I really sought the Lord. I took some time off, and I insisted. My wife knew about this period, and it was like, God, I have to have an answer from you. I have to have an answer. And I was desperately seeking the Lord on this stuff. So where do you want me? What do you want me to do? And then he introduces a guy named Tony. Calls up out of the blue. Tony gives me a call and says, hey, another friend of mine, Dan Sisko, who's over here. I think I saw him somewhere sitting back there. He says, Dan says, you and I have a similar heart. You have a passion for prisoners and he didn't tell me his background. I had no idea. I had no understanding of this guy's background. But what I heard in his voice and I understood from him was he had a passion to serve Jesus Christ with all his heart, all his mind, all his soul, and all his strength. And hearing that on the phone, I didn't even meet this guy. All I know is I was attracted and I thought, God, this is in the fourth day of my fast. He had a 444 phone number. And I'm thinking, okay, if you're really in this, God, I'm going to ask you one more thing. And I asked the Lord to bless this guy with basically an airplane hangar. For those of you who know this account, I didn't get just an airplane hangar for my prayers and answer. What we got was a designated area in the airport, which was said if we could produce $10 million, which I think God will provide. He said they'd give us an airport area to build it on. They'd also give us a tarmac runway, and we could land a C-130 transport plane. And this whole thing is called Prisoner of Hope. This friend Tony, who's passed on to be in the presence of the Lord, left a very, very, very serious, I guess you'd say, legacy. He planted seeds. And he took like kind of like when he got on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, get this, 4 months, this guy just started throwing seeds everywhere, putting them out there, praising God and living on fire. Didn't matter what his background was, and I came to know that he had formerly been in a federal penitentiary, okay? But totally redeemed. So what I share to you is since Jesus held nothing against him, few other people did. But Tony, knowing what his forgiveness and the price that was paid for his life, and what he was now worth, he could do anything for Christ. That guy could walk on water, and he was a big guy. But I'll tell you something. So Tony kind of, he asked me to side by side with him on the helping and restoration of this church. So I didn't sign on with Tony. I signed on with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what's going on. You guys are here today because of a vision and a person that also saw what God had put into his heart and his mind and his soul. And he gave all of his strength, and he actually passed here in the sanctuary. So this is hallowed ground, folks. Tony started this thing called Prisoner of Hope. And I feel, in essence, that he handed a baton. He handed it off to me, but he handed it off to you also. If you have any interest and you want to see other people that are coming out of a system that are just like Tony, are often rejected or looked at wrongly, those that come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in jails through jail ministries, which I'm also affiliated with an organization called Lake County Jail Ministries. And I see there where we could share the gospel and give the gospel, but then I also see a greater need, which Tony was focused on as well, which is when they get out of there and they're having a transformation of heart, mind, soul, and strength to then have the ability to go somewhere in fellowship and find the love of Jesus Christ just as Tony received when he came to know the Lord at CNC. So I got to go fast, but I just ask you, if you have any interest in that sort of thing, in serving, please sign up at the back, give me your information, and then I'd love to hear from you.
Thank you. We love Hannah, his daughter. Let's keep her cute.
So we'd also like to announce Pastors Patty and Lowell. Could you come up for real quick? We want to introduce you. Give them a hand clap.
And Pastor Mike and Trina.
Praise you, Jesus. I'm switching. Okay. I just want to say that we are so honored to be a part of this. Knowing Tony and Tony's mama, I fell in love with her. And to see this come to pass, I'm just overwhelmed. I see this church transformed just like some of you are going to be transformed like the rest of us was. And I think it's awesome. I see Pastor up at the top of that thing painting that and Tony coming in and holding the ladder for him. And the people have worked their tails off to make this possible, but Jesus Christ gets all the glory because we are honored to do this because we know what's going to happen. We just want to say, if you need a hug, I'm the guy to see. Okay? And this is my wife, Patty. We've been married like 50 years, and she's awesome.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. God is good all the time. All the time. Hallelujah. This, I was sitting there thinking about this, how exciting this is, and I was thinking about when you're a child and it's Christmas morning, you're so focused on the presents that are going to be under the tree. Well, how much more we have been given a gift, and how much more we have been given a present in Jesus Christ, and what he has done to be in this place and bring us in this place, if all the stories could be told and how we all got here, how you've gotten here, it's amazing. It's nothing less than the miracle of God. Hallelujah. So we give him all the glory. We're here to serve you. We're here to hug you. I hug too. He isn't the only one. So we just thank you, Jesus, and the same Jesus that walked the water, that healed the sick and give sight to the blind, in the name of Jesus Christ, is the Jesus walking in this house, in Jesus' name.
My name is Trina. We've been with Valley View about 8 years, roughly, led pastoral care roughly 4 years. So we are here to serve you guys, and we just ask you to pray about any ministries that are on your heart, life groups, small groups. We love to help people launch their ministries. So please pray about it. The Holy Spirit, whatever that lays on your heart, whatever he tells you. We're here for you guys. Amen. Love you.
Amen. I see a lot of new faces out there, which is great. Amen. How about for new people, guys? Give it up for them. Yeah. So my wife and I have been appointed to pastor over the ministry groups, which is couples ministries, men ministries, women's ministries, seniors, and several other ministries, Bible studies, stuff like that. And when I say that, I really want to say the difference about what I see here at CNC is we are promoting God's kingdom, God's love, unity in the body. And I don't know what your past is or where you come from, if this is a whole brand new thing for you, or maybe you've had experiences, in good experiences or bad experiences in other churches, but we are here to love on you, to build you up, to encourage you and strengthen you. And we do that with the power of God. We're less politics, and we're way more love.
And now, Pastor Kate.
Well, the clapping sounds loud in here. You know, I'm not used to that. I when I'm in our churches in Valley View or Lorraine, people clap and you can't even hear them. You guys are loud clappers. It's really, really great that you're here. And I'm sorry there's no pads on the pews. These are very old pews. And my choice was to get rid of them and put in chairs with big 6-inch pads. All in favor, say aye. Okay, well, but I was voted down. And they said, no, it's just so beautiful. We'll keep them. And so we had to tear the old padding off because it was so old and ruined. Now we have padded, no pads. So that means the preacher has a limited amount of time to speak. Or next week you can bring one of those bench seat pads, right? And put it underneath for your tush. And that'll help you out a little bit. Today's Pastor Adam's birthday. Pastor Adam. We sang happy birthday to him earlier. And he is a wonderful, wonderful pastor. You'll love him. He'll be the guy that you go to for pastoral needs, as well as the team with Patty and Lowell. They serve as family pastors. And Mike and Trina, there they are, as pastors of ministry as well. So you're going to be well taken care of here. So don't think that there won't be someone here to meet your need and love you. We only have one office. That's in Lorraine. We don't have offices in the different campuses. We keep the costs down that way. Just so that you know, I won't say this a lot. I don't receive a salary for coming here. I don't receive a salary for going to Valley View. And I haven't for 8 years. So I'm not here for the money or your money. So don't think, well, how much does he get paid? Close your eyes. Tell me what you see. And the guy in the back said, I see $1 million. I said, I got a witness. But we're not here for that. We're here for you. And so, again, we want you to get involved and be a part of all that God is doing. CNC Grow was a quick announcement on the video. And it'll be meeting in the upper room. Right behind you up above is a room up there we call the upper room. And that will begin September 4th. CNC Grow is really three levels of taking you from a new convert experience, maybe a little more mature experience, or into a ministry experience, three different levels. I wrote the curriculum myself, and so it's video teaching as well as facilitated by Nadine. So Nadine, would you stand up and let us take a look at you there? There's Nadine. Yep. You want to sign up for that today, okay? That'll be amazing. And so I like to speak a little bit, if that's okay. I don't want to keep you a long time. Let's see. Anybody know what time it is right now? Anybody? It's 10:50. So I have another service. I have a second service, and it's in Valley View. So you know I can't preach longer than till 11:30 because I have to go. So that's the beauty about the 10 o'clock service. You know, in Lorraine, they love it because they know at 11:30 he's got to quit. And they, in Valley View, that we just keep going and going and going. So you don't have to worry about that too much. But I want to share a scripture with you. It's Psalm 50, verse 1. Psalm 50, verse 1, and I want to share a couple of insights with you this morning. The Bible says, the mighty God, I love that part, the mighty God, the eternal, the God of the past, present, and future. He has spoken over the world, calling together all things from sunrise to sunset. You know, that pretty much sums it up. God is in control. And look at your neighbor and say, God is God and you're not. Yeah, you know, I wanted to remind us of that because some people think they are, right? But God is God, right? Amen. But Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 says that God's word is being spoken to us through Jesus. In times past, it was the prophets of old, but today it comes through Jesus, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. That's why it's critical that we know how to speak his word over our marriage and our families and our cities and our communities, because I believe that when we release God's word, atmosphere changes, because our life is built on faith. It's not on doubt. We're not doubters here. We're believers here, right? Amen. We're believers here. So in our multitasking and social media overload world, sometimes we find ourselves so busy and caught up in so many voices that are vying for our attention. We lose connection with the one voice that matters the most. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if you learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, you'll begin doing things you thought you'd never do. You might be minding your own business and you're standing in the checkout line at Walmart and the Holy Spirit says, excuse me. You see that lady over there? Yeah, she has this going on and her name is this and she has had that, and I want you to go over and tell her that, and then tell her that sometimes when you pray, miracles happen. But God, I don't know that woman. Doesn't matter. I do. You see, the voice of God changes a person's life. Amen. And that's why today we need to come to him and say, Father, you are the mighty God. You're the eternal God. You're the God of the past, the present, and the future. And the word listen contains the same letters as silent. That's by Alfred Brendel. He said that. And I love that because we are too busy, too talkative. And if we can tune in to the voice of the Holy Spirit, we can minister to people right where they're at. We want to learn how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? We have to cultivate that. We have to cultivate that with an open mind. We have to allocate time. We can't be so busy that we're always running from one thing to the other. We need to just stop and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want today? We need to eliminate distractions. I don't know about you, but some people can't live in their house without the TV on. Do you ever go to somebody's house and all it is just blaring? I used to do some home visitations and I'd walk in and the TV was so loud I couldn't hear the person talking. So I'd just stand up. I got bold after a while. I said, excuse me, I'm going to turn that off. Do you mind? Do you mind? And they said, well, no. And I turn it off. Sometimes we have to eliminate distractions. What's distracting you from hearing the voice of God? And then fourth, we need to cooperate with what's being spoken. You know, we can't be walking in fear. God saying, go, do, ask, pray, minister, say. We need to cooperate with the voice of the Holy Spirit. I like 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10. You know, little Samuel was being called by God. Did you know that he was being called by God at a young age? And the prophet Eli told him, look, I'm not calling you. That's God calling you. And the next time you hear God's voice, here's what I want you to say. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Amen. If you and I can get up in the morning and go, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. I'll guarantee you, you'll hear God talk. It's like tuning your radio into the frequency of the music that you like the most. If you don't tune your frequency in to the voice of God in the morning, you're not going to hear him. There's radio signals all over this room. There's television signals all over this room. But unless you have a receiver, you're not going to get it. It's just going right by you. But how many know that we have been bought with a price and we are not our own, and we're here to build the kingdom of God? We're not here to build our own kingdoms or memorialize us or denominations or church buildings. Look, I'm thankful for this building, but it's only a building. We're the church, right? We are the church. So in the next few minutes, I want to talk to you a little bit about four callings of God. Number one, he's calling you to join this movement. I think Pastor Mike said that earlier. This is a movement. This isn't a church. We are the body of Christ. We're the ecclesia. It is the called out ones. We are the ones that have been redeemed. We are the building of Christ on the earth. Not this building, not a denomination. It is the church. It is the redeemed of the Lord. And you and I are being called to join a movement. What's the movement? God is calling people in every walk of life. It matters not. Mike was right when he said, a prisoner that comes out of incarceration needs a family, needs a support system, needs somebody that will love them and bring them through when they're in their most vulnerable moment. It's a movement. It's that kind of movement that will change a generation and will impact a nation. We don't need more picketers out there saying stop this and stop that, or vote for this or vote for that. What we need are people that hear the voice of God and recognize that we are in a movement, right? We are in a movement. It's like Peter and Andrew. Do you know Peter and Andrew? They're just casting out their nets one day. And Jesus said, hey, boys, why don't you join the movement? And they're like, what's that? And Jesus said, come and see. Did you know they dropped their nets and started following him? Because they sensed there was something greater than just another personality. You know, this ministry is not built around my personality or Pastor Adams or anybody else's. It's built around the movement of God on the earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. That's the movement. It's the kingdom of God. You know, it was interesting that both James and John were mending their nets when they were called. Isn't that interesting? The other two, Peter and Andrew, they were casting nets. However, John and James were mending nets. And it takes all of us cooperating together. Because if you look in the scripture, Peter and Andrew were fiery preachers. Man, they were preaching, preaching, preaching. But not John and James. They were building, building, building. In other words, they saw the value of slow, progressive, positive steps. Look, you may be here today and don't even know anything about the Bible. You don't know if Hezekiah is a book in the Bible or not. It doesn't really matter. You may not be able to quote verses. It really doesn't matter. There is a ministry gift in the house, not like James, like James and John, who will take time with you, teach you. Progressively, you can learn just like we did. But there are other times, like Peter and Andrew, well, we're going to get up here and we're going to preach. Now, some of you aren't used to that. You're like, what was that? What did he just do? I'm trying to be nice this morning. I want to break you in easy. Sometimes I get excited. I'm trying to be real calm. But I just might get excited. And if I run down this aisle, I may run into Carla back there and hurt her. But the Lord designs each gift with each of our personalities, and every life is important in the kingdom of God. You have something to contribute. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from, how much education you have or don't have, what kind of money in your bank account, or if you don't even have a bank account. Understand something. The gifts of God are given to all people, and every one of us should be honored for those gifts. I like what Pastor Lowell and Patty said. We want to build you up. I like what Pastor Trina said. We want to launch you in your ministry. It's not about what you can do for us as a church. It's what we can do for you in your ministry. That's what it's all about. So the question is he calling you? Is God calling you to a movement? He called David. He called him while he was worshiping all alone in the hills of Bethsaida. He called Moses at 80 years old. So don't give me that age card, you all. I said, well, I'm going to let the youngins do it. No, no, sorry. If I can do it, you can do it. Doesn't matter. God calls. Is he calling you? What about Abraham, one of thousands in the Ur of the Chaldeans? And God called him. He called him to a higher purpose. He called him to a specific task. What about Paul, who hated the church, hated Jesus, and God called him? You may have cursed God before. You may have turned your back on God before, but guess what? He hasn't turned his back on you. He still loves you. And if you'll just come to him and join the movement, God will put you in your place. And he'll use you mightily. Listen, you sometime need to drop your nets. What does that mean? Leave the old. The old wasn't working anyway. So why don't you just pick up the new? Why don't you step into the kingdom of God? Why do we keep trying to do it on our own? Why do we keep trying to look at religion and helping it get us to a place of relationship with God? Why don't we just come to the Holy Spirit? Why don't we just come to Jesus himself? Number two, he's calling you to help other people. He's not only calling you to a movement, he's calling you to help others. We already mentioned that. But listen, every person, and I like to tell people this, the person that's in front of me is the most important person in my life at that given time. And I want to treat them accordingly. Because every life is precious. Every life that was created in the image of God is a carrier of God's presence. He said he created man in his image. If you look around here today, there are people that are taller, shorter. There are some with lighter skin and darker skin. There are some of the variations of face and all that personality look. But let me tell you something. You all have been created in the image of God. And we have to understand how important that is. We need to learn to follow the providence and the voice of God. Acts chapter 16, verse 9. You know what happened? The voice of God called Paul to Macedonia. He said, come on over to Macedonia. Paul said, whoa, where's Macedonia? That's sort of like what I said. Where's Wycliffe? I have no idea where Wycliffe. Only reason why I heard of Wycliffe is because Pastor Adam and Jenna are from Wycliffe. And I think you guys live far away, right? He goes, yeah, it's pretty far. I said, oh, great. That's about all I knew about Wycliffe. Now I know where Home Depot is. I know where Lowe's is at. But God's called us. And he's calling you. People all around us need help with their souls. We are soul doctors. We are those that would go to people to hear their cry, whether it's a young mother who needs a mother, or whether it's a depressed person who needs lifted and delivered, or whether it's a person who's incarcerated without hope and without help. It doesn't matter. We're called to people. And we can bring them into a new life through Christ. Acts 16, 14 is a woman there mentioned. Her name was Lydia. It says, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. It took me a long time to learn how to pronounce that word. Who worshiped God, and the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Let me just suggest this. God is opening some of your hearts right now to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Oh, I'm up here jabbering. I'm up here talking. But you know who's really speaking? It's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Oh, I don't know how many times I've heard this after services. People say, Pastor, when you said this, that was amazing. I'm like, I didn't say that. And if I did, wow, that's awesome. But the Holy Spirit takes the words. Then the Holy Spirit is speaking to some of you right now, this morning. Because he's called you to join this movement. Oh, no, not this church. We don't want members. The church isn't trying to be built up with significance and reputation. And we're not trying to get a big bank account. And we're not trying to be this church in the city. No. We're trying to build the kingdom of God. Amen. And this movement that he's calling you to is exactly what you're going to join. And why? To help other people. To help other people. You know, Lydia was a seller of purple. And that represents wealth and influence. You need those kind of people in your church. Because they have to this has to be funded. We have to fund what we do. We need to take the roller coaster off of that driveway. and let you come in nice and smooth, right? Yeah, it takes money. But those are the things that we are willing to invest in. And one of the things at CNC every year for 37 years, I've been pastoring here for 37, not here, but I've been pastoring for 37 years. And every year we have a full disclosure of all of our finances. It's an open book. We put them up on the screens or on the TVs, and you can see what came in and what was spent. We answer any question that the congregation has, because we want you to know that your investment, you can trust it with the kingdom of God, because it's a movement and it's about people. You know, like Samuel, he was told that he had to hear the voice of God. But every time he heard it, he went back to sleep. It wasn't until the third time that he finally got up and said, "Lord, speak, for I'm listening." I don't know how many times God has spoke to your heart. How many times has God said, "I love you and I died for you and I want you to serve me and I want you to be my disciple." And then you went back to sleep. Well, guess what? God's calling again. Don't let the slumber of our ignoring his voice cause you to miss the movement and miss helping other people that are desperately in need. Today, if we can wake up, have an awakening of our spirit and say, "God, cause me to rise up. Cause me, oh God, to be awakened." It was like Zacchaeus. Maybe you never heard that story, but he was wanting to see Jesus and he was hiding up in a tree. Sometimes people want to see Jesus, but from a distance. You know why? Because they have a bad reputation. They've done some things that they're not real proud of, but Jesus looked up and he saw Zacchaeus. He said, "Hey, guy, come down here because I'm going to go to your house and have supper today. I want to be with you because you wanted to see me. I don't care about your reputation and I don't care what other people have to say about it. As far as I'm concerned, talk to the hand because I'm not listening." That's what Jesus said. That's in Matthew something. What about Saul? He was oblivious to the voice of God and God's presence. You know what he knew? He knew practice. And some of you have come here today to church and you're wondering where the kneelers are. Somebody asked me that just in jest. They said, "Where are the kneelers?" I said, "I think they're in the dumpster." Now don't get offended. We didn't have any. We didn't throw them out. They weren't here. If you want a kneeler, I'll go buy you a kneeler. Listen, what I'm trying to say is some of us have only known practice. You have practiced your religion. You are so good at it, you don't even need a preacher to tell you what's next. You know when to stand. You know when to sit. You know when to kneel. You know when to say hallelujah. You know when to say blessed be the name of the Lord. You know when to say whatever. But welcome to a church where you really don't know what's next. Because the Holy Spirit might just tell you he has a word for you. You guys are like energetic. You're breaking me in slow. You know, what you've known is not enough. What you've known is not enough. Third, he's calling you for healing and restoration. I have no doubt in my mind that this will be a place of supernatural healing physically, emotionally, and restoration of broken lives. I know that without a doubt. It's already happened. I can't give you all the testimonies, but it was like one vendor came in. Mike knows this. Others know this. They come in they're working on something in the building and we go, "Hey, do you know Jesus?" They're like, "Ma'am, I'm here to work on this." I know you're here to work on that, but that's like secondary. And before you know it, we're praying with them. There was one individual, I won't tell you who he was. It came in, and before you know it, he got done with his official business, and then God had his official business. And for 20 minutes long later, they were praying together, and they were talking about how we have to get things going in the kingdom of God. There was another person who got saved. Two people came up here and had a picnic on a property the other day. They didn't even ask for permission. They just walked up there and sat down on the table. They had a picnic. And somebody walked out there and said, "Hey, how you doing? Do you know Jesus?" You know, God is bringing people who need help. God is bringing people who need restoration. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 49, Jesus saw blind Bartimaeus. You remember that story in the Bible? He was blind and he heard that Jesus was passing through the city. So he positioned himself on the road where Jesus would walk by. And at that point, he was crying out. But you know what's interesting about that story? Jesus saw him. Selah, think about that for a minute. Jesus saw him in his need. Holy Spirit, help us understand you see us in our need. Amen. You may have come in here today and no one knows you, or you met just a few people, or maybe you didn't meet, you know, someone that was significant in your life and you just got a little bit of uncomfortableness around and you're feeling like out of place and you really don't know why you're here, but you thought you'd check it out. Guess what? God's checking you out. Excuse me. I mean, he's God. He could check you out if he wants to. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, check it out. So Jesus is checking out this blind man. And you know what he does? He said to his disciples, go bring him to me. And they walked over to the blind man and they said, like Mark's over there, hey, Mark, guess what? Jesus wants you. He said, what does he want me for? Well, it's obvious. You look blind to me. Come on, let's go. And he said he got up and dropped his cloak, which identified him as a blind man. He left it where he was and he walked over to Jesus. You know what that was? It was called a word of knowledge. Jesus had a word of knowledge. Say, what's that? Prophetic gifts. And brought the man over. He said, guess what? You came to me blind, but you're going to go away seeing. Jesus is calling you. Some of us are blind spiritually. Some of us may be blind physically. Some of us may have physical infirmities, other problems that we struggle with. But you know what? He is a healing Jesus. And he's calling you to be healed this morning. So cast away the garment of your own sufficiency. Bartimaeus heard Jesus' call and the miracles that he was about to experience would change his life forever. There are people sitting in here that were former alcoholics who can say, when I met Christ, it changed my life forever. There were people here who felt rejected most of their life, felt like they weren't loved and weren't worth and didn't have value. And others, even to this day in their families, will reject them and treat them harshly. But you know, when they found Jesus, they found acceptance and they found love. You see, you could have come here today wondering, what am I going to find when I get here? Am I going to find an organization or am I going to find an organism called the Kingdom of God? We're not here to build an organization. There's not going to be any elections for president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, first trustee, second trustee. Who's in charge? Let me tell you who's in charge. Jesus is in charge. And the Holy Spirit is leading us. And you have a pastoral team that you can trust. Look, I've been around 37 years. Check me out. Do a background check. Am I perfect? No. Have I failed? Yes. Have I always done everything right? Absolutely not. But I get back up and I try again. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? You get back up and you try again. So you too, you've heard, you've came today. You need to cast aside your long, heavy garment and allow Isaiah 61:3 to come into your life. And that is to put on the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. I love worship. Now, some of us were kind of being nice this morning, but next Sunday, we're getting down. Next Sunday, we're going to get on this altar. We're going to jump. We're going to shout. We're going to dance. You say, well, I don't like those kind of churches. Well, you know, hang on. You might be the one up here jumping, shouting, and hanging. We just believe that God is worthy of our praise. And I came this morning knowing that I'm a man made alive. And there was a day when I lived as a dead man. But thanks be to God. Amen. He has raised us up from the dead. Can you give him praise right there? Hallelujah. You can give him praise right there. Well, I'm doing pretty good. I don't have a clock back there yet. But one last thing God's calling you to. He's calling you to a higher place. I have this saying that I've used for years since I was in ninth grade English class with Mrs. Muha. Mrs. Muha said, good, better, best, never let it rest, till good turns to better and better turns to best. I've been living my life that way almost ever since. Amen. We have to go to another level, folks. Amen. Because the life that you've known in Christ isn't it. There's more. You cannot exhaust Jesus. You cannot exhaust the kingdom of God, go to school, learn about the Bible, and now suddenly have a certificate, and you now are just like God. There's still more. Amen. I'm going to share this with you, and I'm going to close. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, and if you're new to this church, when I say I'm going to close, it means nothing. I usually have four of those. One down and three to go. Revelation 4, verse 1, there it is. It says, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Now, I'm not here to teach you theology this morning or speculation. Some would say, well, that is indicative of the fact that that's the rapture of the church. Can we just put that aside for right now? Let me teach you a more spiritual truth, a more practical truth. Revelation 4, verse 1, John was on the Isle Patmos, and he was going through a horrible time. He was persecuted. He was tried. They tried to kill him. They boiled him in oil at least twice, and he lived. He wasn't a very sightly person. He was a hurting man. But he wanted Jesus. And here's what the Bible said. Come up here, and I want to show you the things that are about to come. And John was taken from the Isle of Patmos into the very presence of the Lord. But if you read that chapter, and I don't have time to read it, it has everything to do with what John saw when he got to that place. You know what he saw? He saw the throne of God. Amen. Listen, folks. If you get your eyes on men, they're going to disappoint you. Preachers, they're going to disappoint you. Politicians, oh Lord, they're going to disappoint you. Come on now. Even family, they'll disappoint you. You got to get to a higher place. You and I need to go into the heavenly realm far above principality and power. And we need to get our eyes on Jesus. You and I have got to be ready to go to another level. You got to come here hungry for God. Like you really want it. You know, when you see the team like the Cavaliers that finally won a championship after 64 years in Cleveland without one. I like what one of the players said. You see us out there with our uniforms on. You see us out there after we won the game. But you didn't see us in the weight room, in the training room. You didn't see us practicing. You didn't see us up late night watching film. You didn't see any of that. But we were willing to invest in it because we believe you deserved the championship. Listen to me, Wycliffe, you deserve the kingdom of God. This whole area deserves the kingdom of God. But it's going to take people who are willing to go into the weight room and do some training. We're going to have to learn how to pray harder. We're going to have to learn how to love deeper. We're going to have to learn how to forgive people. We're going to have to learn to stop judging others when you don't know the facts. You and I have got to love people where they are. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. Look, I've been in church a long time. I've been in church a long time. I wasn't looking for a place to preach. I got places to preach. But if I'm going to come, if you're going to come, then let's make a difference. Let's not go through the motions. Let's just not have a little party every week on Sunday and some chicken on Saturday. Let's do more than that. Let's find God in a higher place. Let's get into the throne room of God and see Him. with his blazing white hair and his eyes of fire. Let's see him to the point where we fall prostrate before him and say, God, I am unworthy in your presence. But he draws us in anyway because he wants us to live from the throne room. You have to be ready to go to the next level. And he took him to the throne room. He said, I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. The entire chapter explains God's introduction of the kingdom to John. That's where it's really at. It's not CNC Grow. It's not meeting the pastor in a reception with coffee afterwards to see if I like him or not. All those things are good and they're natural. But ladies and gentlemen, you got to be willing to go to the throne room of God. You got to be willing to look at Jesus in his eyes of fire. You got to be able to see him enthroned in his kingdom and all of his authority and all of his splendor and all of his holiness and righteousness and say, that's the God that I want to serve, and I will give my life to him. When we do that, life changes. He didn't want John to face anything in life without first seeing who sits on the throne. See, sometimes things in life, they knock the wind out of our sails. Sometimes when things happen in our life, whether it's a sickness or it's a premature death or a loss of job, we think, where was God? Where was God? I don't know how many times I've heard that. People ask me as a preacher, hey, if God was God, why did this happen? You may be here today and you've lost a loved one, maybe a child. You think, I don't understand it. I'm giving God a second chance. In reality, he's giving you one. Why? Because the things of this world have to grow strangely dim in the presence of God. Why? Because you know what? If we look around, this world is hurting. It's sick. It is broken. Everything around it doesn't function. It needs repaired and constant maintenance. Why? Because it needs to be totally redeemed. You know, the Bible says all of creation cries out for its redemption. So bad things are going to happen to good people. And I'm sorry that that happens, but you know, that's the effect of sin in this earth. But I got to tell you something else. If you'll go to the throne room of God, if you'll see the king on the throne, it doesn't matter what else happens afterwards, because you are living in a higher place. You and I have got to get to that higher place in the kingdom of God. So the entire room was filled with wonder and awe and power and excitement and joy. You know, we came in here today, we were excited because we were here. But more than that, we ought to be excited because he is here. We shouldn't have to have a worship team pumping people up. We shouldn't have to have a cheerleader up here. Come on, let's worship, 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 worship. You know, I'm like, dude, I could do this myself. We ought to come in here hungry for God, praying for people at the door, in the parking lot. You say, well, I'm not in the parking lot ministry. Well, join. Whatever it takes, we ought to be ready. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Oh, look at that person in that black van over there. Oh, what did you say about him? Go pray for him. Got it, God, I'm on it, I'm on it, I'm on it, I'm on it. Hi, welcome to the Church on the North Coast. Do you need prayer? Yeah, I guess. Good. Lord, in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on, ready to pray, ready to forgive, ready to love. My time is almost up. My bus is here. 5 minutes. He wanted John to know he was bigger than anything the world could throw at him. God's bigger. God's bigger than your calamity. God's bigger than the problem. God's bigger than your hurt. God's bigger than your past experience. I can't promise you a perfect church. Even if we were perfect, we were only perfect till you got here. Come on. Thank God I'm leaving. Somebody escort me out. Man, there ain't no exit doors around here. The world in which we live becomes more uncertain and more fearful every day. It's scary, man. You start reading of the atrocities that are happening all over the world and even in our nation. You think about all of the calamities that people are facing, the persecuted church around the world. People today that don't have free access to a building like this. They're meeting underground. They're being imprisoned for their faith. They're being martyred in the southern Sudan. by extremists who are coming in and cutting off appendages because they raise their hands to God in praise. No one here has paid that price. But I know this, if you keep your eyes on the throne of God and see Jesus high and lifted up, there, everything else will become smaller in proportion. So when we see him in his rightful place, we then will live in a fearless love for him, because love casts out all fear. Someone told me the other day, and I agree. He said, well, I don't have time, Pastor. I'm a pretty busy person. If you don't have time for others, if you don't have time for healing, if you don't have time to join the movement, if you don't have time to go to a higher place in God, it's not because you don't have time. It's because you don't love deep enough. Now, I'm not here to offend you. But if you want that kind of love, you're going to have to find out what Mary had that everybody else at the dinner reception didn't have. She was so bold to walk in there in front of all of the dignitaries and religious leaders and go, y'all going to watch something now because I'm about to worship Jesus. And she washed his feet with her tears and took her hair and wiped his feet, broke an alabaster box and anointed him for his burial. And everybody had something to say, but she could care less because she heard what he had to say. He said, woman, I like you. I like what you just did. So here's what we're going to do. It's kind of tight quarters in here. But nonetheless, afterwards, we have a table set up. And I know it's the first day, and we're on our first date. But I think we should kiss. Not literally, I'm married. By the way, this is my wife, Tina. Stand up, Tina. Years. My son Lewis and my granddaughter Emma. Stand up, guys. So I want you to go to the table. See Mike for Prisoners of Hope. Talk to someone about getting a life group going. You say, well, I don't know. You don't have anything of interest. Then start one. We want you to head it up. You got to be careful when you come to us and say, can we do this? I say, yeah, go ahead and do it. We'd love for you to do it. How can we help you? Maybe God's calling you to help other people. Maybe God's calling you to a place of healing. Maybe you'd like to have a Friday night healing service right here. Maybe you'd like to be a Monday night outreach to prisoners. How about a Tuesday night for those that are addicted? We have that planned as well. Because people today, it's an epidemic of heroin and drug abuse, and we can't ignore it. That's why God brought us here. We're going to reach out to those in this community who need help. This is going to be a lighthouse, and we want to send the signal out to rescue and to save those that are perishing. So we hope that you'll stop by at the end of this service and meet one of the folks over there. And can we maybe bring some tables up on the platform? Or I don't know what we have to do to get more room, but that'd be awesome. And if you all come back, and of course there's a lot of Valley View folks here, some from Lorraine. You guys came all the way from Lorraine. How many from here from Lorraine? Let me see. Ray and Tracy, look at these Lorraine people. That's an hour and 10-minute drive. That's a long way. God bless you. I'm so glad you guys are here. To see their faces is amazing. Got some Valley View folks here. How many from Valley View? Let me see your hand. Woo, look at all the Valley View. All right. And the rest of y'all, I don't know where you're from, but I hope you come back. It'd be great to have you here. We like to say this, live right, love everybody, and pray hard. Then I have one other saying. I love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it. You see, love is the common denominator, isn't it? That holds us together, brings us together. Where are we at, Mark? Am I done? I'm done. He gave me the connect. He did this. You may be from a ministry or your experience where you've never had people come to altars for ministry. And I understand that. But it is our belief that when people walk in faith toward God to meet in prayer in agreement, God does some amazing things. So I have some altar ministers that are going to stand here across the front, if you will. And if you have a need today, whether it's just to introduce yourself to Christ, maybe a healing in your physical body. Maybe you have a situation in your marriage that you've got to have a miracle. Or maybe a financial breakthrough. I don't know. Whatever it is. We believe that God is a God that answers prayer. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to release His prophetic ministry. Whether we speak over you or whether we just hear something from God or whether we just pray the right prayer. These are people that love you and want to help you and stand with you. So I'm going to ask you, as soon as we say stand, if you have a prayer need before you go that way, why don't you come this way? And that's all we're asking you to do. We're not asking you to join the church or anything like that. If you're born again, you're already in, okay? So I just want you to be a person that receives ministry. And if you have questions about the ministry, John and Lisa, there's Lisa and there's John. They're going to be doing our guest reception, and it's in the little room right across the foyer there with the big table. We'd love for you to meet our pastors and other ministry team members to help you answer your questions about the ministry. You can ask anything you want, just can't ask my weight. I'm not telling you that. Or my age. Or if this is my natural color. Some say, is that your natural color? I'm not telling. Bow your heads with me. Our Father, our God, we thank you for this morning. It's a great inaugural day where we've dedicated this house for worship to Jesus. Be exalted and be lifted up. I thank you, Father, for the investment of those that have given so much. I thank you, Father, for the Trevisano family that's here today. In memory of their son who helped inaugurate this whole outreach. We pray now blessings upon them, comfort of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, now as we look forward to the future, that you speak to the hearts of people that says, I want to join a movement. I want to join a place of healing. I want to go to another level. I want to help other people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. And you can come for prayer if you need prayer. And other than that, live right, love everybody, pray hard. We'll be back Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Bring a friend.